Orchid If I Can Dance, and I'm sitting here with Miren Jairo Lera Vergara, both members of the curatorial collective Bulegua from Bilbao. And then we also have artist Pedro G. Romero in our midst, who is contributing to our upcoming project that we would like to tell you a bit more about in this presentation. I will begin by telling you a little bit about If I Can Dance, what we do specifically in our program Performance in Residence. And then we will concentrate on one of the projects that we've developed within this program together with Bulegua and the Spanish artist Isidoro Valcarcel Medina. First of all, If I Can Dance, Max already briefly mentioned who we are, but just to sum up, we are a visual arts association based in Amsterdam, and we develop artworks and thematic programs in close collaboration with artists, curators, and researchers on the basis of long-term collaborations. We always work with partner organizations where we present the different projects at different venues, both in the Netherlands and on an international level. Our main focus of interest is in exploring the evolution and the typology of performance and performativity in contemporary art. And our current program develops along two lines, let's say. We have new commissions and we have the program Performance in Residence. For the new commissions, we invite artists to produce a new work that develops over the course of 2 years and has several public moments. For each project with each artist individually, we find different partners where we work together with and present the projects. In the past 2 years, we've worked with Jeremiah Day, Seungwon Kim, Ito Steyl, Wendelin van Oldenborg, who just gave her presentation, and Emily Wardale. There she goes. So next to the new commissions, we have our program Performance in Residence that we initiated a year and a half ago to really further develop our research into performance history and theory. And with this program, we look at best performances and let's say performance-related practices also from outside of the field of visual arts that we consider important from the point of view of contemporary performance practice. And in each project, a performance functions as a case study for a comprehensive research undertaken by an invited curator and artist that leads to the development of a new production. So there's always this active relation between research and practice. And in each project, this raises different questions relating to how we engage with performance work. So with Performance in Residence, you can say we host a certain performance for a pretty substantial period of time, usually 1 or 2 years. And there's always a public presentation that marks the beginning of the project. And then at the end of the research period, the outcome of the research is presented in a new production. So far, we have initiated several projects within this program with Guy de Quantet and Marie de Bruguerol, with Bulegua and Isidoro Valcarcel Medina, with Inti Guerrero and Flavio de Cavallo, and with Matt Mulliken and Vanessa Desclo. And I very briefly want to show you a few photos to give you an impression of how these projects have developed so far. So our first performance in residence project was with Guy de Pointet and Marie de Bruguerol. Marie de Bruguerol is an art historian, and Guy de Pointet was an artist living in LA in the 60s and 70s who really became well known among artists. And one of the performances that he did is called Five Sisters, which was the last performance he staged during his lifetime. And this performance became the focus of our research with Marie. We started our research by showing a different play of Guy de Pointet that you see some pictures of now. This is Igloo, that we presented together with the Stedelijk Museum and Kunstverein in 2010. And the following year, Marie really developed her research into a new production of Five Sisters that focused on the question of how to present this performance today. And here you see an image of the new cast members of Five Sisters, which we have now shown in Amsterdam at the Frascati Theater, at Stuuk Kunstenfestival in Leuven, at Muzak in Lyon, and at the Reina Sofia here in Madrid. And it's traveling onwards to MoMA in New York and LACMA in LA in a few months. Then, very briefly, some images of the project of Inti Guerrero, who is researching the work of artist and architect Flavio de Cavaglio, a man who lived, who made performances, let's say, between the 30s and 50s of the last century. And Inti is currently developing that research into a curatorial proposal that also involves contemporary artists and choreographers. This was from his first presentation last year in Amsterdam. Then our project with Matt Mulliken and Vanessa Desclos, which goes into his hypnosis performances. Here again you see a lecture that marked the beginning of the research by Matt. And last month we had a masterclass together with Matt and a lot of different people, Nicole Beutler, Joachim Robrecht, Suchan Pinochita, Vanessa Desclos, and Johan Simons, that focused on Matt's hypnosis performances and how to open them up to other people and use different actions from his performances as a script or instruction to work with. And this was again presented at the Frascati Theater. And some of the participants underwent hypnosis, and what you see here is a guy under hypnosis trying to act out a script. Then the project that we really want to talk about today, with Gulegua and Isidoro Valcarcel Medina. We invited Gulegua last year to undertake a research into the work of Isidoro. And maybe it's nice to mention that If I Can Dance has over the years built up a relation with Spain, partly through working with Lera at Sala Recalde in 2008 on an exhibition. And also we did a commissioned work with Jon Miquel Yuba in 2008-2010. And through these contacts, we were informed about the work of Isidoro, and our interest in his performances was tickled, let's say. Now, with our invitation to Gulegua and Isidoro to collaborate on a project together, we really hope to give attention to his conceptual approach to performance and to the affective relations that he undertakes with his audience, and also to make his work better known outside of the Spanish context. So we started the project with a public conversation at Veen Theater in Amsterdam last year. And the conversation was between Bulegua and Isidoro, and really introduced his practice by talking about his work and by showing and listening to different of his works. And here you see some photos of that. And I would like to give the word to Miren to explain how their research developed from there, which I think was a bit of a challenge because Isidoro was reluctant to revisit his own work in this kind of historical framework of research. And he quickly responded to our invitation with a proposal for a new work, which he titled Performance in Resistance. And this work is now the departure point for a touring series of presentations with guest speakers that tell stories on the basis of this work. But I would really like for Miren to say a few more things about how their talks with Isidoro developed and how he came to make this particular work.
Okay, thanks for having us here. Well, it has to be said that for us the invitation, can you hear me? Yeah. The invitation to take part with Isidoro Valcárcel in Performance in Residence by Tanja and Frederick from If I Can Dance came to us, to Bulegua, Zenbaki Barik, at a very special moment because we were about to open our space and our project in November 2011, and we got invited in September. So in a way, it can be said that this year and a half of working together with If I Can Dance and Isidoro Valcárcel Medina has in a way helped shape our project. Especially in the sense of we are four women coming from Isabel de Naveran, Ambea Cabia, who are not here, and Leire and me, and we come from different fields of, let's say, work. I mean, Bea comes from social theory, Isabel comes from choreography and theory on choreography, and we both come from visual arts. So for us, from the very beginning, the idea of research was, I mean, Bulegua means office in Basque, Zenbaki Barik without number, and the subtitle is Office for Art and Knowledge. So our interests were mainly research and how to research, and then here we have this invitation to do research. But of course, we have a problem. We have basically two problems. One was that we were, you know, the researchers, but then the object of study was so very much now and here. And he was, you know, he wasn't dead. Or like, for instance, Gabe Conte, he was very much there, he was working. And on the other hand, it was problematic also. So, because, let's say problematic, because for Isidoro, the idea of researching his own work has been like, for the last 10 years or so, like a continuing question, and he's been reshaping the idea of what researching means. Research, or what he puts into question so many categories, like what history means, or what research means, or what so many things we get for granted. So that's what we have in our hands. And of course, as Tanja said, Isidoro, when we first went to him in September 2011, we already knew, but he completely, you know, was really reluctant. I don't want to get me, I mean, back to the past. I'm coming from there, I'm here and now. So he came back to us with this, what he calls with, he always sort of reacts, was part of his practice, no, reacting in a positive way, let's say. But he reacted to performance in resistance with what he calls performance in resistance. And that's the project he came, he produced, he made last Easter during for 4 days. The shooting took place, well, the work, it has to be said, I don't know if you have, well, you can see them. There are like 18 pictures mounted on a frame of Passepartout, and on the side there, in all the pictures you can see Isidoro making some kind of action, and on the side it's written a city, a title, and a year. When you see the pictures and you see the text, it's obvious that there is some sort of contradiction. Of course, the guy is there and that guy made that piece, but not in this place and at that moment. So what you have there is 18 photographs of 18 actions he performed between 1965 and 1993. So probably Pedro would talk a bit more and more profusely and more nicely than me about this sort of destiny of Isidoro, this maldición, I don't know how to say, of having to be forced to go back again and again to his old work, while he doesn't want to do that. So here, that's what we have in our hands. And we are not experts in Isidoro's work. There are so many people who are experts on Isidoro's work, so we said, oh, what can we say? There are so many voices, you know, who could talk about Isidoro. Why don't we? So we came, this idea of the storytelling came from the work itself, of this multiplicity of voices, this multiplicity of cities and interlapping. So we came with this idea, okay, why don't we produce like a storytelling device or machine that goes or works on itself, and we invite like people to tell stories on different, on one of 18 stories on each of the 18 photographs in different places. Because, well, I forgot to say that these 18 pictures recording so-called actions Isidoro Nepal Cartel performed between 1965 and 1993 were taken in during 3-4 days at Easter time, last Easter, in Madrid, 5 minutes walk from his flat. So most of them. So we decided to, as I said, produce this invite other structures, continue, go on another step ahead of this collaboration device you already, If I Can Dance, already engaged us in, together with Isidoro, to inviting all the other structures, most of them are smaller, small like us, like Bulewas and Makibarikan, If I Can Dance, to sort of host different stories and different storytellers. So
maybe it's also nice to mention that many of the original performances that you can now see in the pictures were never documented before. Is that right?
Yeah, some of them, maybe I think 2 or 3 of them, they are pictures, but and most of them are recorded or registered in this Irrevenir, like the sort of Bademecum of Isidro Valcárcel, the Catalogue Rasoné. Only one of them is out of Irrevenir because he forgot to include in there. And I don't know, what can we say now?
Maybe we can give the word to Pedro G.
No, but we shouldn't forget to introduce the project is going to start next week.
Yeah,
in Amsterdam.
Exactly. It's going to start at Veen Theater in Amsterdam on the 26th of February. and three storytellers have been invited to each choose one picture and base a story, or come up with a story around. One of them is also here today, Emilio Moreno, an artist, Spanish artist living in Amsterdam, who really followed the whole project from the beginning. So we're also very happy to have him here now. And the two others are Mo Schukosen, a Dutch writer, and Esteban Pujals-Gesali, a Spanish writer, poet, and translator. And then we have Pedro G here, who is also invited as one of the storytellers, not at the theater next weekend, but in a different venue that is still to be decided. But we have asked him to be here today to already respond a little bit to our invitation and to share with us his relationship with Isidoro.
Bueno, voy a hablar voy a hablar en castellano. Bueno, me han invitado a que presente a Isidoro y estaba aquí recordando por el aire un poco así como asustado, porque yo conocí a Isidoro en una feria de arte en Ámsterdam, en el año 89, en la Kunstrai, en la que se celebraba una exposición que creo que fue importante, antes y después del entusiasmo, que comisarió José Luis Brea, y que intentaba aunar prácticas conceptuales de finales de los 80 con una tradición de los 60 y los 70 en España. Y allí fue cuando conocí a Isidoro.
So, shall I translate, or is it, everybody understands? Okay, so yes, so so he's just going to introduce Isidoro and a little bit when and how Pedro met him and started to know him. And he just, you know, like being sitting here in Arco, he just realized that he met for the first time Isidoro at in Amsterdam in a fair, and also in relation to a show, a group show that was organized in the Kunstrai, which was entitled Antes y Después del Entusiasmo, Before and After Enthusiasm, and it was curated by Spanish art critic José Luis Brea, and it was a retrospective show that tried to contextualize the practice of artists working in the end of the 80s, but with a lot of like influences and reference from conceptual art from the 60s and 70s, from Spain.
Y aunque ya conocía su trabajo, a partir de ahí, digamos, a partir de conocerlo personalmente, pues ya fue un continuo conocimiento como persona y también una especie de, por mi parte, una especie de dedicación, de seguimiento, de estudio del trabajo de Isidoro, del cual me considero fan, no sé cómo decirlo, seguidor. En fin, de hecho, lo que voy a contar son, creo, algunas de las cosas que pienso, que uno piensa, que pienso que he aprendido del trabajo de Isidoro.
So, you know, since then, since that group show, well, that was the opportunity to meet the artist, but also to meet the work. And since then, he's been following him and he's been studying him, like, with a lot of care and with a lot of, like, interest. And also, he considered himself somehow like a fan or like a follower of Isidoro. And today, he's gonna just introduce, you know, why is this and what was so important for him coming from Isidoro.
Desde entonces hasta ahora también se ha producido un cambio de perspectiva en la recepción de Isidoro. Es decir, Isidoro Valcárcel Medina era durante mucho tiempo un artista secreto que teníamos unos cuantos que disfrutábamos de él, de su trabajo, de sus pequeñas acciones, de sus constantes acciones, más o menos desapercibidas. Y a partir de la extraña retrospectiva, que no era tal, pero de la revisión de su trabajo que lo hizo la Fundación Tapie, a principios del siglo XX, su obra no ha parado de ser revisada, y me consta que para el propio Isidoro, con una cierta incomodidad, esta cosa de tener que revisarse a sí mismo ya como una especie de artista, en fin, que todo el mundo preferiría que hubiera estado muerto para poderle meter cómodamente en la historia, pero que él seguía estando vivo, y había como una incomodidad entre ese estar vivo y el problema de los historiadores del arte contemporáneo, ¿no?
So he's like reflecting upon the issue, the fact that since that exhibition in Amsterdam in late 80s until today, the reception of Isidoro's work and Isidoro has changed dramatically, because for a very long time Isidoro was kind of like a secret artist that some few artists like Pedro share between them. So, you know, he, like Isidoro, continue doing secret actions, like really ephemeral, not well publicized, or, but they, you know, secretly shared with him and between some artists. But since the retrospective in Tapies, in Fundación Tapies, about his work, well, the work of Isidoro now is much more well received, and everybody wants to go back to these old pieces and somehow go back to this idea of the retrospective. But for Isidoro this is not so comfortable, because he doesn't want to go back to the past. And of course he will perhaps, you know, sometimes think that maybe it will be better if he will be dead, and then, you know, everybody could, like critics or art historians could immediately put into art history. But he's still alive, and this kind of like is uncomfortable for this retrospective look.
De hecho, Isidoro se ha convertido en una especie de comodín histórico necesario para muchas genealogías, muchas justificaciones de prácticas, nuevas prácticas conceptuales que hay en el arte español, incluso opuestas, es decir, Dora García o Santiago Sierra, que son, digamos, en fin, artistas más o menos, antagonistas, los dos lo reivindican como una especie de eslabón perdido, es decir, todo aquel que no tiene a Cruz de Trabal o algún conceptual catalán en su bagaje tira de Isidoro, ¿no? Es como una especie de ese conceptual que tiene que ocupar el resto de las provincias españolas que no fueron conceptuales, que parece que solo fue Cataluña.
That's difficult. I will try to explain, you know, because he's making like, some jokes and metaphors, and my English is not that rich. But the thing is that, you know, Isidoro has become this kind of like common tool or common coin for different genealogies within conceptual practice of contemporary artists. So artists, well-known Spanish artists like Dora García or Santiago Sierra, who if you really, you know, go into their practice, they are totally even opposite, you know, like totally different between themselves. Both artists claim them as claim as Isidoro to be the reference of their practice, no? So this is kind of like a contradiction thing, but also, you know, so Isidoro somehow is fitting into this kind of like a maneuver within contemporary art history, and how to justify like a conceptual tradition or trajectory within any artist that comes not from Catalonia, where conceptual art was developed, but any place in Spain.
Puesto de forma más o menos ligera, son consideraciones que creo que son muy pertinentes, porque sobrevuelan la recepción de Isidoro, ¿no? La revisión de su trabajo, la revisión de su obra, que magníficamente recogida en estas 18 acciones, ¿no? Es decir, que es cómo mirarse, cómo mira él el trabajo que ha realizado, cómo se insertaría él en la historia, con toda la ironía que eso tiene, me lleva a pensar en que las últimas obras que estaba haciendo Isidoro antes de esa retrospectiva de la Tapie, entre comillas retrospectiva, tenían que ver con esa idea de la historia, ¿no? Había hecho la de 2000, los dos tomos de 2000 años antes y después de Cristo, que de alguna forma era su manera de insertar la tradición contra la historia, por poner palabras de Agustín García Calvo. Y en ese periodo me parece muy importante señalar que una de las cosas que creo que he aprendido de Isidoro, creo, tiene que ver con esa idea de que la historia es realmente uno de los enemigos principales del trabajo del arte.
So, well, this, that is, you know, what he said before about this contradictory fact, no, between everybody claiming him as a reference of his their conceptual practice, is kind of like a light thing to say, but also is pertinent, and especially if we look critically of how his work is being received today, let's say, no? So, in a way, these 18 actions and these photographs that documents them, in a way, is kind of like a dispositive of how himself, or how Isidoro himself looks at about his own work in the past, let's say, no? And of course, and how he will insert himself into our history, with irony, of course. And in a way, this obsession with history has to do with a previous work that he developed before that retrospective in Tapies, that is actually a book, a publication, that it was entitled 2000 Years Before Jesus Christ, and it's really a project, a work about how history is the worst enemy for our practice, let's say, and for everything.
Y en ese sentido, muchas veces una preocupación de la crítica, sobre todo de la crítica, no de Isidoro, de intentar entender el funcionamiento político de su trabajo, tiene que ver con esa idea de ese entendimiento de la recepción del tiempo. Por ejemplo, una de las cosas que claramente aprendí de Isidoro es que el trabajo político no tiene que ver exactamente con la ideología, y hablando de algo muy presente en esta feria incluso, ¿no? Hablando del pasado, de la memoria histórica, una de las cosas que creo que literalmente aprendí de Isidoro es que el problema de Franco, el problema de las esculturas de bronce de Franco, no era tanto Franco como las esculturas de bronce. Es decir, no era tanto el problema del dictador Franco, que tiene un periodo de tiempo X y que tiene una dictadura en el país, que tiene un registro histórico Y, sino que el problema es el bronce, es decir, el problema es cómo se perpetúa el trabajo del arte en bronce. Con Franco había una lógica absoluta en ese movimiento, ¿no? Pero el problema de Isidoro es que lo que intenta acabar es con esa relación con el bronce, no tanto con que si Franco era aficionado al cine o aficionado a no se sabe qué otra cosa.
So the most important preoccupation from the critic side is to try to understand the political dimension of Isidoro's work. And this political dimension has to do with the reception of time, with the time-based reality within his work. And so that means that the political dimension is not, it doesn't have to do with the idea of ideology, but with, so about the past, about the historical memory, about how to deal with this, but it's more about the timing, let's say, no? And for example, he was referring to the problem, for example, of Isidoro and the Franco statues, and it's not about that these statues are of Franco, and Franco was a dictator, and he stayed there for a very long time, but it's more dealing with the fact that these statues were made of bronze, and so is the way that you know, what Isidoro wants to do is to finish with the fact that the artwork is perpetuated by this material, by bronze. So it's this his most important his concern is to finish with this relation with the bronze that perpetuates ideas and images.
Y eso creo que tiene que ver también con una segunda con otra idea del propio Isidoro que creo que ha aprendido en Isidoro, y es que la comunicación es exactamente lo contrario del trabajo del arte, pero a la vez la función principal del artista, y en este caso tiene mucho que ver con su función de performer, es la de que parece que esté diciendo algo, es decir, se establece la relación del emisor y el receptor en un proceso que aparentemente es de comunicación. Isidoro siempre está como diciendo algo con una voluntad a prueba de bomba, pero realmente en toda esa transmisión de datos, que hay datos que se transmiten de sinsentido, de tiempo, de suceso, no hay comunicación, no hay comunicación semiótica. Es decir, creo que el artista no es un DJ semiótico, que no es alguien que combina informaciones del mundo. Eso fue algo que también aprendí, creo, con el trabajo de Isidoro.
Another thing that Pedro has learned from the work of Isidoro is that that art, the function of art is not communicate. It's not about communicating something. It doesn't have anything to do with communication. The thing is that in the work of Isidoro, most of the times he seems to be communicating something. And he is, puts into work the dispositive of communication. He puts into work the sender, the receptor, the transmission. But in fact, he is not communicating a semiotic message. And he's saying, Pedro says, he is not a DJ, a semiotic DJ.
Tercera cosa, y por no agotar el tiempo, digamos, y que tiene que ver con estas dos percepciones de contra la historia y contra la comunicación, creo que trabajadas con Isidoro con una coherencia absoluta, para mí, en fin, la definición más clara que tengo de lo que me parece el trabajo del arte, de lo que yo creo que es el trabajo del arte, es una definición que da Giorgio Agamben, filósofo italiano, de lo que es un gag. Y en esa definición, yo cuando lo leí la primera vez, aparte de querer intentar encarnarla de algún modo, a quien reconocía plenamente era el trabajo de Isidoro Balcarce de Medina, ¿no? Agamben dice que el gag literalmente era el papel que tenían los actores de la tragedia griega de meterse un trapo en la boca e intentar contar parte del argumento sin poder usar el lenguaje, solo con gestos. Pero siempre era algo trágico lo que contaban. La gente se reía porque lo veían hacer espasmos, hacer movimientos raros con el cuerpo, cosas que parecían cómicas, pero que realmente era un intento de expresar sin el lenguaje, sin las palabras, lo que estaba en la comedia, ¿no? Y a mí me interesa mucho cuando Agamben relee esa idea del gag emparentada con la mística, con una mística que nada tiene que ver, por supuesto, con lo religioso, y en los dos ejemplos que pone Agamben me identifica mucho el trabajo de Isidoro. Por un lado, con Wittgenstein, con el trabajo del filósofo alemán, con la famosa proposición de Tratado de aquello que no puede decirse mejor no hablar, y con los extrañamientos que suceden en las películas de Buñuel de los años 60, esas películas más o menos realistas en las que toda la vida es normal, pero hay un pequeño cambio, una persona que anda boca abajo y nadie parece extrañarse de esa realidad, ¿no? Esa relación entre el gag y lo místico me parece propia de un tipo de trabajo específico que es del arte, y me parece que Isidoro lo encarna como nadie, o por lo menos cuando yo me enfrento a esa definición, pensaba inmediatamente en múltiples trabajos de Isidoro, en múltiples de sus acciones, de su manera de encarar el trabajo del arte.
Pedro is saying that he has learned from Isidoro has to do in a way with the two previous ones. So with the idea of going against history and with the idea of going against communication. And in fact, it has to do with the definition that Giorgio Agamben gives in relation to what art is. And he relates it to the idea of the gag, so Giorgio Agamben, the philosopher, says about the gag that the gag, in a way, comes from the Greek tragedy, and in fact, it was when an actor put a cloth in his mouth. And he then, with this cloth in the mouth, he tried to interpret a tragedy. And the thing is that this became quite comical. So the audience was mainly laughing because, of course, the actor couldn't talk. So the idea was to express the tragedy without words. But because of the gestures and because the actor, of course, was struggling, people used to laugh a lot. So this is the origin for Giorgio Agamben of the gag. And also this definition, Pedro Hayes, like relating it also with the mystic, with another mystic reference to, for example, of the philosopher Wittgenstein, of his proposition of that which cannot be said should be not said, and also with Buñuel and how in his films, for example, there is also an strange object or event happening in his films, something that goes really wrong, but no one in the film really reacts. They take it as normal, as a normal thing, no? And for him, this kind of two reference, the gag and this mystic from Wittgenstein and Buñuel, is what is embodying within Isidoro's work and within his many, many different actions.
Pero por acabar, esto que cuento de Isidoro, sí, seguramente estaré totalmente equivocado. Quiero decir que si estuviera Isidoro, seguramente rebatiría algunas de estas ideas, porque recuerdo en una ocasión similar que lo presenté con él delante, yo estaba convencido de que él era lector asiduo de mi libro favorito de todos los tiempos, que es Juan de Mairena de Antonio Machado. Yo, para mí, él es un artista que es como Juan de Mairena, es decir, un artista que mira el mundo exactamente con ese punto de vista. Y sin embargo, él me confesó que apenas lo había leído y que él era lector exclusivo, seguro que exageraba, de Azorín. Entonces, eso que media entre Azorín y el Juan de Mairena, en fin, para los que conozcan la literatura española, es como lo que va entre, pues no se me ocurre, entre Robert Greenleaf no sé, Karl Kraus, en fin, no, exagero con Karl Kraus, pero bueno, en fin, hay una distancia, esa diferencia yo no sé cómo la traspasa Isidoro. Yo lo que sé es que Isidoro habla desde, y reconozco a partir de que me lo dijo, no solo he vuelto a leer Azorín, he visto que Azorín era, las novelas de vanguardistas de Azorín son impresionantes en los años 20, anuncian ya el no romance francés, ¿no? Me parecieron impresionantes y entendí mucho a Isidoro, pero hay una parte ahí de la mirada que me diluía, ¿no? Hay una parte que no llego, quizá todavía sigo interesado en la obra de Valcárcel Medina, porque no soy capaz de entender cómo él, mirando como Azorín, acaba haciendo una obra como la de Juan de Mairena.
So, well, he's saying that, well, that everything that he has said tonight, probably if Isidoro were here, probably he will say that he doesn't agree. And he's very much convinced about this because he always thought that looking at his work and following his work, Isidoro will be a fan and a reader of Antonio Machado's Juan de Mairena, which in fact is Pedro's favorite novel. And in fact, once Pedro asked Isidoro if he had read and if he liked this novel, and Isidoro said that no, that he just a few bad passages, but not much. But he really liked Azorín, who was also a writer from the same generation, late 19th century. And for him, you know, he couldn't really understand Pedro. He couldn't understand why Azorín and why not Mairena and why not Antonio Machado, no? And of course, he thinks that Azorín is a very important writer, an avant-garde writer from the 20s in Spain, who was really making a lot of what later will do the French no romance he did with his novels in Spain in the 20s. But of course he cannot understand how Isidoro with a sensibility coming from Azorín does a work that seems to be done by Mairena.
I think we have to round up. Maybe there are some questions.